Mark 5:21, it says, and when Jesus was passed over, when he crossed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was close unto the sea. Amen. So here we have Jesus. He's passing over to the other side. He had just cast out a demon into some, about, I think, research or scholars say, based on eyewitness, about 2,000 of herd of 2,000 pigs and sent them into the ocean, into the sea. Crosses over to the water. It's a crowd of people, and he's beginning to speak. Speaks on the water because the scientists know, the science teachers in here, that water carries your voice. They didn't have a microphone or a PA system, so as Jesus is speaking across the water, the crowds can hear him clearly. So he crosses over to the other side. He's speaking to the crowd. Verse 22, and behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue. So here we have a leader. We have a man. His name is Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. So make a note that he saw Jesus and immediately he worshiped. So make a note also, regardless of your title, regardless of your position, that Jesus Christ is the highest as you can go. So you should always fall at his feet and worship. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's other kings, there's other rulers, there's other leaders, but he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So never get too big where you can't bow down and worship Jesus, because he has everything that we need. And then that's the posture that you and I have to have when we come to Jesus. We can't come with pride and arrogance, but we come humbly and we fall at his feet. And as he said to him, he says, he begged him in verse 23, he begged him greatly, say, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. So here we are. We have a ruler. He takes time to seek out Jesus. There's a lot of people there, but he finds Jesus. He throws himself at his feet, and God always responds to a humble heart. God always responds to a humble heart. He's begging for his little daughter. His daughter is dying. And so this year, let us, parents, make sure you're praying for your kids. Sometimes this was a physical death, but a lot of our kids might be dying spiritually. Got to humble ourselves. We got to pray to God. We got to beg God for our kids like never before. 2016, we got to beg God for our kids, like for our youth leaders. We got to beg God for our youth like never before. We got to come to him humbly, and we got to beg him to the point of a response. But then and she probably was like my daughter's, a daddy's girl. You know, and so dad is like, he's busted up, like, man, this is my daughter. But whether it's a mama's boy or a daddy's girl, or whether it's your spouse, or whether it's a parent, you got to beg God on their behalf like never before. Get your titles out the way. Get all that stuff out the way. This dude's a ruler. He has it going on. He's a leader in the synagogue. He said, forget all that stuff. My baby's dying. I got to go find Jesus. Put your pride to the side and go after Jesus like never before and say, I need a response, Lord, because my daughter's life is counting on it. My son's life is counting on it. And our kids might look okay physically, but spiritually it could be dying. Just like this gentleman, we got to beg on their behalf. He says, I'm praying thee, come and lay hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. Put down on 23 for those of you that are taking notes that he believed that God could do it. As I studied this lesson, God is just imparting into my heart that it's all about a belief. Jesus, all he wants us to do is believe in him. Believe that he is who he spent his whole existence here. These 3 years of his ministry, trying to get them to believe in what he said and that he was who he said he was. And he's trying to get us today. It's the same thing. We just don't believe. We'll hear a message. We'll lift our hands and we'll walk out of here and do our own thing because we really don't believe it. He came with faith in God. He knew Jesus could do it. We don't know. Otherwise, we would live differently. We would act differently. We would study differently. If we really believed. Let's keep watching. Watch. Verse 24, and Jesus went with him. Why? Because he asked and he begged. If you don't ask, the word says you have not because you ask not. Says he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We don't even believe that. Otherwise, we would be diligently seeking him. We would wake up and pray and fast and study in the morning if we really believe that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seeks him. And Jesus went with him. Why? Because he begged him and he asked him, just like he'll go with you and I if we beg and ask according to God's will. And much people followed. Underline it. Much people followed and thronged him. So it was a big crowd. There's a lot of people following. Everybody's not believing, but there's a lot of people following. Churches are filled across the world today. There's a lot of people there, but not everybody believe. And not everybody's following. And here we go, verse 25, and a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent, somebody underline, all she had and was nothing better, but rather got worse. Sometimes it gets worse before it gets better. Here is this lady. She's had an issue of blood. She's had her cycle for 12 years and is never stopped. And she's sick and tired of being sick and tired. She heard about Jesus and said, if I could just get close to him. But wait a minute. Jesus is already, he's already busy because he's going to heal the ruler's daughter. And here comes this lady who some might call an interruption. But you better make a note. Here's a revelation. You're never an interruption to God. You are a priority to God. I don't care what God has going on. You're not an interruption. Your issue is not an interruption. Some would say, why is she bothering him? Don't you see that God is busy? He don't have time for your little stuff. Regardless of how little you think it is, God is a God of detail. He's concerned about it. Or how big you think it is, he can handle it. And anything in between, you are not an interruption to God. Don't you ever think God doesn't have time for you. And that this is just, I don't want to bother God with this little stuff. God wants you to bother him. He wants you to come begging on his behalf and on your behalf and on their behalf. You got to see the type of God we serve. He makes us a priority. And here's this lady. She spent everything she had. And see, a lot of us, we've been spending everything we had physically and literally and emotionally with all the wrong people. You done tried everything else. We say, now you need to try Jesus. What's the slogan? You've tried everything else. And you got to get sick and tired of being sick and tired of dealing with the wrong people. In 2015, maybe you dealt with the wrong people, but in 2016, make sure you're dealing with God. You got to go to the person who can really handle your situation. Look at verse 27. When she had heard of Jesus, somebody say amen. When you hear of Jesus, somebody say amen. Amen. She came in through the crowd behind and touched his garment. It's a lot of people there. And think about this. Do you think she was the only one that had an issue or was sick or was hurting? All those people were there and nobody else thought, if I could just touch. See, everybody don't believe. Right. It was a crowd of people. And she's the only one saying, if I could just get there. It's all, nobody else had any type of issue. I find that hard to believe. But she's the one that was sick and tired of being sick and tired and dealing with all the wrong folks. She said, I heard of Jesus. Hey, I know what he's been doing. I'm going to find him. And when you get tired of being sick and tired, then maybe you will get to the point. It's the story about the. Reminds me of the story about the dog. This old dog in the South. And, all right, I don't write them. I just tell them, okay? And Ivy said, sure. And they're sitting on the porch, and man comes to visit his friend, and the dog is just yapping and yapping and howling, ah, ooh, yeah, yeah, ooh, ah, ooh. And the man said, what's wrong with your dog? He said, well, he's sitting on the nail. And the dog is just yapping and ooh. I said, well, why do you just keep sitting there? Why don't he get off? He said, well, it's not hurting him bad enough. Sometimes you'll stay in that relationship and you'll yap and you'll howl, and but you ain't leaving. Because you ain't sick and tired of being sick and tired. It ain't hurting you bad enough. But when you get to the point like this lady and say, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, I have to get to somebody who can really handle my issue. But then look, and she had to fight through the crowd. And sometimes you gotta fight through the crowd, especially this world of distractions and frustrations and temptations and deceptions and discouragement and depression and desperation, disappointment. You gotta fight through. You gotta fight through the haters and the naysayers of doubt and fear. You gotta fight. Sometimes you just gotta fight through and get to Jesus. There's gonna be a lot of things trying to prevent you to get to him, but you gotta fight through. But she knew it. If I could just touch his garment. Isn't that something? Yeah. Now remember, he's on his way somewhere, interrupted with this lady while he's on his way somewhere. Right. Verse 28, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Mm. Make a note. She just didn't say healed. She said, I'm going to be whole. I'm going to be complete. I'm going to be secure. I'm going to be free. If I can get to Jesus, I don't need anything else. Plus, minus, nothing. The one-stop shop. That's all you need. It's not Jesus plus or minus. It's Jesus only to make you whole. If you're single and you're thinking, once I get married, I'm going to be whole, you need to stop believing that lie right now. And if you're married and you say, once I get divorced, I'm going to be whole, you need to stop telling that lie right now, too. If you're not whole in Jesus, you're not going to be whole wherever you are. Jesus makes us whole. And when you talk about being married, it's two whole people coming together. You're not a part. You need to be whole. And then your marriage is whole in Jesus. Your relationship is whole. Your family is whole in Jesus. It's not the money. It's not your bank account. It's not stuff. It's not people. She was looking for it in the wrong people, and she got worse. But she heard of Jesus and said, I can be made whole through him. I've heard about what he can do. Verse 29, look at it. Straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that affliction. Plague being translated as affliction. Do you want Jesus to heal you of whatever affliction you're dealing with? Look at this, verse 30. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned about in the press, in the crowd, and said, who touched my clothes? Disciples think he's crazy. Man, everybody's around you. What? See, they always think Jesus is crazy. It's just like Brother Marshall, the time where they were watching the people give. And the lady, these guys were cashing it out of her, giving out her big abundance. And the lady put in two mites. Mm-hmm. And he said she gave him more. He said he can't even count. What's wrong with Jesus? We thought Jesus can't even count. Now they think something's wrong with him. What do you mean? Everybody's touching you. See, I got a theory on this, though. Jesus, he wanted to show off. I think he's kind of a show-off, amen? Somebody say amen. There you go, spin in the mud and put it on his eyes and say, go wash your face and look what happens. He wanted to show off. So he's going to let everybody, hey, who touched me? Causes a scene. So God can get the glory. All these people were, wait, somebody touched me. And so the lady, she's a little afraid, like, oh, okay, is God going? God's never put you on blast. That's the devil who want to put you on blast, not God. Make a note of that. Devil want to tell all your business and make you feel about that small, and you go kill yourself or something. That's what he want to do. God wants to build you up. God will never put you on blast. So we're talking to each other. Remember, when we're putting people on blast, that's a whole nother spirit. That's not a godly spirit. Jesus even told us, if you got a problem with somebody, you go to them alone. Which reminds me, I got to need to talk to you after service, Ivy. So, I'm glad that came up. See, God never put you on blast, but God wants to show out. He wants everybody to know what he can do. Look, and his disciples, verse 31, said unto him, man, you see the multitude and you're talking about who touched you? And he looked around, verse 32, to see her that had done this. But the woman fearing, see, underline that, she was afraid. You don't have to be afraid of God. God has always loved you. You're not an interruption. God cares about you. You're not an interruption. But she didn't understand that aspect of God. But she knew what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. So here's the position. She came humbly, she fell down his feet and told him the truth. When you humble yourself and tell the truth, God responds. God's looking for us to be real. He doesn't want us to pretend. He doesn't want us to be involved in lies. She could have came with pride and lies. But she humbled herself and told the truth. Get rid of the pride and the lies in 2016. It's not going to get you anywhere. It's not going to get you into the presence of God. It's not going to get you close to God. It's not going to get you delivered through God. How do we respond to God? It's hard to have a relationship with anyone that's based on pride and lies. And always got to be right and you got to be wrong. And I'm selfish and it's your fault. Doesn't go anywhere. You got to understand, this lady, she knew what happened. Look what Jesus, look how he fronted her off. And he said unto her, daughter, He's going to heal Jairus' daughter, but he takes time to heal his daughter on the way to heal Jairus' daughter. He's also showing off for Jairus, where Jairus could say, wow, if he's going to do this for his daughter, maybe he'll do it for my daughter. Oh, my God. Somebody catch that. He called her daughter. He didn't say, what you doing touching me? Where you been? I don't know where your hands been. Who you been? What you doing? He didn't do any of that. He says, daughter, your faith, your belief, your trust, your commitment has made you whole. Revelation, write it down. Our commitment, our faith, our belief in God makes us whole. And look what it brings with us. Go in peace. So our belief, our trust in God makes us whole and gives us peace. She had been trying to get it from doctors and prescriptions and all this other kind of stuff. And it's always been in Jesus Christ. It's not in drugs. It's not in alcohol. It's not in sex. It's not in stuff. It's always been in Jesus Christ. And you'll spin your wheels and waste your whole life. And you'll miss it. Why? Because you really don't believe. You don't believe what God says in his word. He said, you're done with this affliction. Verse 35, while he yet spoke, there came from the rulers of the synagogue's house, certain which said, your daughter's dead, Jairus. You don't even need to trouble Jesus anymore. Then here's a temptation. Oh, man, if he wouldn't have spent time with her, then my daughter would be whole. So it's God's fault because, God, you playing around too much because you knew I came first. If she wouldn't interrupt the God, then my daughter would be well. And God, you took too long. That lady said, look, I've been dealing with this for 12 years. Some of us can't deal with nothing for 12 minutes. She said, I've been dealing with this for 12 years. I'm not going to miss my opportunity with Jesus. I don't care what you're saying. I'm not going to miss my opportunity with Jesus. And see, it's you think that is somebody else's fault because of where you are. It's not. Jesus took his time. He's taking his time in your situation right now. You thought it would happen in 2015. It might not happen in 2016. And you're upset with God and you're upset with other people. You need to cut that out right now. Cut it out. It's not God. Jesus took his time because he wanted to take his time. It's nobody's fault. It's not the lady's fault because your daughter died. It's not God's fault. It's not your family's fault. It's not your mom or your dad. It's not your business partner's fault because your dream and the business died. It's not. God has you right where he wants you to be. He's taking his time because he's trying to teach you something. It's nobody's fault. You can't be upset with people. In 2016, you got to let that go. Let people go. Deal directly with God. Humble yourself and deal directly with God. It's not people. It's never people. It's an orderly system of deception that makes you think it's people, but it's not. It wasn't her fault that Jairus' daughter died. She wasn't an interruption. It's not anybody in your family's fault of where you are. God has you right where he wants you to be. Verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard these words that were spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, don't be afraid, only believe. I told you it comes back. God's telling you, you got to believe. You don't believe half the stuff that the word says. Otherwise, we would live differently. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I don't even believe that. All things work together for good to them. I don't believe that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not. I don't believe that. The steps of a righteous man or woman are ordered. I don't believe it. Otherwise, I would live differently. It says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I was reading Proverbs 3 this morning, and it says in the right hand is length of days, and in the left hand is riches and honor. I don't believe that. Otherwise, I would seek wisdom like nothing else. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If I believed that, I'd get up every morning and go after God. But I don't believe that. See, we don't really believe this stuff. Otherwise, we'd live differently. We would change some patterns and some habits in 2016. But I got to do my thing. I got to get into my job, my business, my this, my that, my the other. Because I really don't believe this. I got to make it happen. I don't even believe Christ is the head of the church. This is my church. It gets ridiculous. I mean, the church is not even God's church anymore. God would like to come in, but they won't let him in. He told him, look, they just told him that his daughter's dead. It might have been something in 2015 that died. And you think that is, as we used to say in the old days, is dead and gone. Jesus is trying to tell you, don't be afraid. Just believe. Amen. That's all he did. His whole existence is tried to get them to believe in him. That he was who he said he was. That's all he's trying to do now is to get us to believe that he can do what he said he can do and that he is who he said that he is. It's tough because we got to fight through the crowd. We got to fight through the distractions and the deception. Got to fight through the haters and the naysayers. Don't be afraid. Somebody highlight that. Make that your theme for 2016. Somebody needs to make that their theme for 2016. Oh, that kind of rhymes too, huh? Theme for 2016. That's kind of cool. Be not afraid, only despite what all the haters are saying. be not afraid, only believe. And look what happens. Look, I want to ask a question. And he suffered no man to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. He only took Peter, James, and John with him. Somebody, I was going to go to school. Somebody raise their hand and tell me why. Somebody tell me why. Why did he just take Peter, James, and John? Brother Gene.
Because they had the faith. He needed 20 people with faith greater than he would be around.
Anybody else? Absolutely right. You see, everybody else was just a crowd. He needed those who, I'm only taking those that believe. There's only, there's some places you can't go in God unless you believe. That's the other revelation, right? There's only some places that God can take you, but you can't go if you don't believe. He said, you know what, y'all, Peter, James, he knew in the crowd who believed. Peter, James, John, let's go. I don't need any haters. I don't need any naysayers. Let's go. He took the three that believed, the three that had faith that he could do what he said he was going to do. In some accounts, it says that he took Jairus with him as well. So Jairus did believe after Jesus told him. But he's telling him, Peter, James, and John. Verse 30, and he come into the house of the ruler of the synagogue and see it the tumult. And they that wept and wailed greatly. You know, they back then they hired professional weepers and wailers and mourners and all. So they're having a big old pity party. Screaming and acting a fool. You got to get rid of the show. They just showing and all that kind of stuff. And he was in verse 39. And when he was coming in, he said unto them, what you making this big fuss about? And what are you crying about? She is not dead. She's only sleeping. And they laughed him to scorn. You got to get rid of the scorners, the scoffers. You got to get rid of some haters in your life in 2016. People, you telling that you rededicating your life to Christ, you're getting your life together, you're trying to do this, you're trying to do that, they're just laughing at you. You're going to start a business, you're going to start a ministry, they laughing in your face, talking behind your back. You need to shake yourself of those type of people. Because basically, I was taught, if you tell somebody your dream and they don't laugh at you, then you're not dreaming big enough. If you tell them your dream and they don't laugh at you, then you're not dreaming big enough. But those kind of folks, the ones that's going to laugh at you when you tell them that my dream is not dead, that my life is not over, that my life is not through, those folks that's laughing, you need to get rid of them. You need to evaluate who you got in your circle. And like Kathy always said, I want to be in that inner circle. You got your inner circle. You got to have those that believe. You got to have those that you can call, those you can talk to, those that you can communicate with, those that you can be real with. You need to have those surrounding you. And you surrounding other people like that. It's not the number of people. Jesus took three. It's not the number of people, as Gene said. It's the number of those that are in agreement. I got three people that agree with me. Let's roll. That's what Jesus probably said. Thanks for rolling with the master. And you know what they told him? Thanks for letting us roll. Yeah. Y'all listen to too much radio in here. All right. That's Jesus. I only need three. Thanks for rolling with the master. Thanks for letting the brother roll. That's all you don't need a lot of people in your circle. You need those that are in agreement with you. Just like this whole crowd, you go from a crowd to three people. That's why you can't be impressed with the size of a church and a mega church, because you just got people in the crowd that don't believe nothing. Just a number, and probably on the wrong team anyway. Same ones there laughing them to scorn. And he said, but when he had put them all out. So I don't know if Peter and James and John got influenced by the crowd and started laughing too. You know how it is when the crowd is there and it's, you know, and you're at lunch and you want to pray over your food and they're laughing and you say, I'm good. I'm going to just eat today. I ain't going. You know, it kind of influences you to change your habits. You know, and everybody's telling dirty jokes and all that. And you like, I remember one, too. Let me say, remember, it was three men. And yeah. So when you get around the scoffers, then it changes your behavior. So he said he put them all out. I don't know if that included James, Peter, and John, if they got influenced by the crowd. But all means all. And he takes the father and the mother. So I guess they did. And them that were with him and entered. Okay, they were, and entered in where the damsel was lying. So maybe he didn't. He took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, daughter, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was the age of 12 years. Wow. So the lady had the issue of blood for 12 years, and the girl was 12 years old. Here we are in 2016, and the first month, and there's 12 months in a year. So we got 12, 12, and 12. 12 is meaning the government of God, the rule of God, God's perfect government. So as we're going through these 12 months, let's be focused on God's perfect government. Doing things God's way. 12 years, 12 years old. And it says they were astonished with great astonishment. You know, you can't define a word by using a word. So when you look up the words astonished and astonishment, it's two different words, same variation though. But it's saying they were amazed, and it was like they were in a trance. So when he did that to the young lady, yeah, they went into an amazed trance. And he charged them straightly that no one or no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Make a note, Jesus meets our spiritual needs and our physical needs. He provides it all. He's concerned. He was not only concerned about her spiritual need, but get the girl something to eat. She just died, okay? For God's sake, she just died. Will you get her something to eat? I'm sure she's hungry right now. Get her some water or something, okay? Help her out. She just passed away for a few hours. Get her a toothbrush, too, or something. She was asleep for all those hours. Come on. Jesus was concerned about her, just like our physical needs and our spiritual needs. He's concerned. He doesn't miss anything concerning you and I. All right, so before we close out, let's wrap it up. Look at Mark 6 and 1. This gets a little bit tougher for the Lord and Savior. It might get a little bit tougher for you and I in 2016. Because the people that we love so much and think would have our back, but they don't. Mark 6 and 1. And he went out from there and came into his own, underline his own country, and his disciples following him. He went back home, went to his family. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished. It's like when you go back home and you tell them, I give my heart and my life to Jesus Christ. You go to your job, you go to school, and you tell them, you know what, I'm changed in 2016. I'm serving God, and people are astonished. Like, wow, look at you. Oh, really? We'll see how long this is going to last. And they said, man, from where has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are done by his hands? Wait, isn't this the guy who used to fix the floor and the door? And makes chairs and stools? Isn't this the carpenter's son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? And aren't these his sisters with us? They were offended at him. He's doing all these miracles. Then you go home and your own family is offended at you. You tell people that you love Jesus Christ and they're offended at you. You're trying to pray over your food. You need to go somewhere else. You are offending me. But I want to tell you how you grew up. I remember when you were and what you used to do. And all of a sudden you are holy and you are righteous. You getting on my nerve. This is at your house. This is your cousins. This is your family. This is your parents. This is your brothers and sisters. The cross is offensive. Hey, you tell somebody Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody goes to God but through Jesus. You're offending me. So you're trying to tell me out of all this that's created, Jesus is the only one that can save. That's what the word says. You're offending me. I don't want to hear that. You're trying to tell me I can't live my life the way I want to live it and be all right? No, I'm not telling you that. The word tells you that. You're offending me. And it hurts when it's your own family. Yeah, I mean, it hurts. I remember when I rededicated my life in college, I came home and was telling the family about Jesus Christ. One of my older brothers said, man, if you don't come home talking that stuff, you need to stay at college. Don't want to hear it. Yeah. But you know how God works that thing out. You get that word, it doesn't return void. And Lord touched his heart and led him to Christ. And little did we know, because in less than 10 years, he passed away from HIV. You let them offend you, offend them, but you got to tell them the truth. Yeah, letting the Christ had to speak at his service. It was tough. But he was offended when I came home, because nobody wants to hear that stuff. I didn't want to hear it. You didn't want to hear it. Don't try and act like you wanted to hear it the first time somebody told you. Especially if you're like me, if you didn't grow up in church, because I didn't grow up in church. I didn't want to hear that stuff. Y'all need to get away. Y'all messing up my high. Y'all messing up my groove right now. Get away from me with that stuff. And then they want to tell you how you used to be, as if God. But see, they can't deny the power of a changed life. They were astonished with what he was doing. They'll be astonished at your life, and they want to be you, so they're going to hate on you, young folks. Because everybody is not sleeping around and getting high and doing drugs. So they're going to hate on you because you don't fit in with them. And they're going to be offended, and you let them be offended, and you walk away from that foolishness. Verse 4, but Jesus said unto them, as a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. Everywhere else he's honored, but except for his own house. But look, here's where I'm trying to go with this. And he could there do no mighty works. Except that he laid his hands on a few sick folk. I like the way the Bible's real. He just laid his hand on a few sick folk, but he couldn't do nothing mighty. And he healed them, though, because God is gracious in the midst of being offended. But look what happened in verse 6. And he marveled because of their what? It comes down to what you believe in. He marveled at their unbelief. He was amazed that they couldn't believe in Jesus Christ. And he's marveling at your unbelief this morning with all he's done in your life. He's amazed that you still don't believe it, that you still don't get it. After all he's done for you in 2015, he's amazed. He's marveling right now at our unbelief that you still don't get it, that you would go through life cheating yourself because you don't get it, because you're offended by him. He said, it's certain things I just can't do because they don't believe. He will never supersede your will if you don't want to believe. He said, I'm cool. If you don't believe the scriptures, you don't believe I, cool. You don't believe I can work in your singleness, you don't believe I can work in your marriage and your family, cool. Don't beg me, don't pray, don't humble yourself, do your thing. I might heal a few sick folk, but I'm out of here. It won't be any mighty works going down. And then we upset with God because God won't move. And God said, you don't even believe what you're talking about. I only see you when things go bad. Otherwise, you'd be with me every day if you believed I really could guide all your steps. You don't believe it. And you're upset with me. Ain't that something? We get upset with God and we don't believe. And he marveled, verse 6, because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching. God's still going to do what he has to do and look for those that will believe. So as we prepare for communion, just think about, what do I really believe this morning? Just think about it. Give me a... Oh, yeah, of course. Just think about it. Just think about, what do we really believe? Do you believe that on the night when he was betrayed, that he took bread and he broke it? And he told his disciples, do this in remembrance of me. Did this really go down 2016 years ago? Hey, remember, I always say, what makes it a new year? If people are just saying happy new year, happy new year, happy new year. But the only reason it's a new year is because Jesus split time in half. It went from B.C. to A.D. 2016 years ago. It's really practical. So either Jesus split time in half or he didn't. Do we even believe that? It could be staring us right in the face. Happy New Year. Remember, ask your colleagues, what makes it a new year? Because it's a new year. But what makes it? Why is it 2016? Oh, I never thought about why. Why is it 2016? Ask your colleagues, what makes it 2016? And Ivy, what are you doing up there? Brothers, please pass out the sacraments. I was going to say, I've never heard that tune before, Ivy. Ivy, what are you? Hey, man, you good? Jesus Christ split time in half. This is the evidence. We've been taking communion. The followers of Jesus Christ has been taking communion for 2016 years. A lie does not last that long. A lie just doesn't last that long. It can't. And do we really believe? We got to evaluate, family, as we move forward in 2016. We got to evaluate individually and collectively. We have to evaluate, do we really believe this? And if we do, let's move forward. If not, then watch football and do something on Sunday. Do something else. Don't waste your time with anything you don't believe in. When you get the bread elevated, what an honor it is to take communion. Christ said, do this in remembrance of me. And as we do this, it reminds us that he's coming back for us. Or do we even believe that he's coming back for us? This whole 2016 is a year of belief. Do we really believe it? Is it worth committing our life, our heart to? Did it really happen? Did Jesus really split time in half? Did he break bread with his disciples and said, it's my body which is broken for you. Go on and eat that which represents his body. Then elevate that which represents his blood. Said, this is a new covenant, the New Testament, We know that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. We don't have to do the trespass offering and the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offering, and the drink offering. Jesus Christ was offered up once and for all. He covered it all. That's why he's the one-stop shop. All our needs, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, are wrapped up in Jesus Christ. And this is the symbol of the new covenant, the New Testament in his blood. And Lord, we thank you for dying on that cross for our sins, shedding your blood, and raising up on that third day. We're committed to you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Forgive us of our sins, Lord. We're forgetting those things which are behind in 2015 and reaching forth to those things which are before. As we press towards the mark of the prize and the higher calling in Christ Jesus, we thank you that new mercies greeted us this morning. God, as you speak to our heart, don't be afraid, only believe. We believe, Lord. We trust and we're committed to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go on and drink that which represents his blood. And as the music is playing, just bow your head just for one quick minute after you pass in your cups. Just bow your heads just for a quick minute. Maybe somebody's here and you want to take this opportunity. It just be one opportunity for prayer this morning, or maybe two. Maybe you want to rededicate your life in a new year. Maybe you didn't believe like you should have. You didn't trust God like you could have. I don't want you to stand or come up, but I do want you just to elevate your hand and put it back down if that's you. Amen. Let's just bow our heads and pray. Or maybe someone's here and you're looking for a church home. If that's you, elevate your hand. We'd love to be your family. We'd love to walk with you 2016 and beyond. Thank you. And I just put your hands down and just want to pray, and don't want anybody to feel like they're on the spot because of past service. But Lord, we thank you for speaking to our hearts, telling us to believe. You spent your whole life trying to get them to believe and trust in you, that you were the way, the truth, and the life. That you were God in the flesh, you were Son of God. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that is made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Trying to get them to see that your kingdom is in heaven, it's not here on earth. So God, we ask that you would forgive us of our sins, that we would live like we believe that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that 2016 would not be an extension of 2015, but it would be the year of believing and committing and walking with God, trusting God. So we thank you for rededication. Your word says if we're faithful and just, if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Thank you for cleansing us, Lord. Thank you for the new mercies that greeted us. Thank you for the fresh start in 2016. Let us live like we believe. Let us live like we trust you. Thank you for those that rededicated their lives. Those interested in joining. Thank you, Lord. We love you and we bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet. Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Give some